Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 414. I'm Dave Elliott, and I've traveled to the future, and I've seen the horrors that await. It's called Heroes Reborn. Today, Fantastic Four, 414 from July 1996. Family Business by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. So young Franklin is back. Not that I care about young Franklin, but it's better than adult Franklin running around. He gets a big hug from his mother. You know, maybe I should be kidnapped to the future for a while. And then, I could get a hug from my mother. Sue says that she missed Franklin very much, and he says that he was taken away by Grandpa, but a nice man in an armored suit, most likely adult Franklin, found him and sent him back to 1996. Now, for some reason, the Thing is ready to punch Nathaniel's lights out, asking, what happened to adult Franklin? Nathan says it must be Hyperstorm's doing. With Franklin being sent back in time, he was never raised by Nathan in the future, and the adult Franklin, the Side Lord, never existed. That's good news. Reed convinces Ben to put down Nathan, and Nathan says, maybe it's time for the entire truth. I get the feeling that if Tom DeFalco wasn't getting kicked off this book, we'd have to wait a little bit longer for that entire truth. But finally, the truth is finally revealed. He tells them about how he had come back from the future to help prevent the Earth from turning into a dystopian world where superhumans and mutants are hunted by technology gone mad. And in one future, adult Franklin marries Rachel Summers, the daughter of Cyclops and Jean Grey. They have a kid who is able to access the powers of hyperspace, giving him great powers, and he became Hyperstorm. Yes, Hyperstorm is Reed and Sue's grandchild from an alternate future. That is so pretty shitty, isn't it? Nathan goes on to say that in every possible future he's been to, the Fantastic Four, along with a bunch of other superheroes, are destined to vanish from every known plane of reality. He concludes, it must be the work of Hyperstorm. Actually, it's the work of forces of even greater evil, Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld. Reed is upset with his dad for not telling them all about this sooner. Reed goes on to say that he has a plan to defeat Hyperstorm using the power of Galactus. Nathan says he's tried everything, raising Franklin to be a Psi Lord, training Sue on how to exploit hyperspace. Actually, that's only two things, but it was all a waste of time, and if Reed's plan had any hope of working, Hyperstorm would immediately strike him dead. Reed says that Hyperstorm doesn't know his plan because it's all in Reed's head. He hasn't told anyone, so Hyperstorm won't be ready for it. Hyperstorm is a colossal eavesdropper. If he told anybody, Hyperstorm would be listening. Reed says he's going on the mission alone. The rest of the FF disagree. They want to come too, but Reed says no, and he walks away. So of course, the rest of the FF decide they're going anyway. And Hyperstorm is eavesdropping, as always, and he's like, oh goody, a family reunion. Johnny flies off to say goodbye to his girlfriend, who has a beeper that Johnny can call. Well, Ben is walking around when he sees Lyra the Skrull, who has a beeper that goes off. She picks up the phone, calls Johnny, as Laura Green, the girl she's pretending to be, in order to get Johnny to fall in love with her, making plans to meet Johnny, all while Ben is watching. Oops, the secret is out. She turns around, she sees Ben, and he's like, you have some explaining to do. She tells Ben that Laura Green was just a way to keep tabs on Johnny. She never expected Johnny to fall in love with her, which is believable, since Laura Green doesn't have red hair. Ben surprisingly seems comforting and understanding. Of course, he still wants to get it on with her. After all, she is a shapeshifter. She can turn into anything. She can look like a woman or a man. Whatever Ben wants. Back with Sue, she finds Reed working on this big vehicle called a wormhole shuttle. Since when do they have a wormhole shuttle? Just something Reed threw together one afternoon lately, I guess. He tells Sue that he must face Hyperstorm alone, and he tells Sue that she should stay home and look after Franklin. So much for that promise he made a couple issues ago to start treating Sue like an equal. It's like the 1970s all over again. Stay home and look after Franklin! Well, she doesn't take too kindly to this, and she pushes Reed up against the wormhole shuttle, and she yells at him that she ran this team while he was gone, and she is not staying behind. I guess, screw Franklin. If they both die, he can be raised by Nathaniel again. So she kisses him, and I guess that's that. And she grabs him by the hand, and she pulls him along. He asks where they're going, and she says that if it's their final mission, they should make the most of it. They need some quality time together. I guess the idea of being on a dangerous mission has made her very, very horny. Meanwhile, in Central Park, Johnny is meeting with Laura Green, and now her hair is red. Lijah is bound and determined to win Johnny over, isn't she? Or at least get him to pork her one last time before Jim Lee comes. She says she has something important to tell him, but he says it better wait until after their big mission is over. So he says goodbye to her, and they kiss, and it's a very awkward kiss. It's almost like he's kissing his ex-wife. He says he's gotta go, and he flies away. So later, Reed and Sue are about to leave, and Scott Lang, Ant-Man, is there, and Reed is surprised that Ben and Johnny aren't there to say goodbye. Reed tells Scott they've arranged for Franklin to be enrolled in a special school if they don't return, a school run by a headmaster by the name of Xavier. He says that Xavier will call. Isn't that a little foreshadowing? So Reed hugs Franklin goodbye, and Kristoff is there, and he says he wishes he could come with him. And Reed tells him, I appreciate the offer, Kristoff, but you're needed here. He's needed there? What? Why? Why is Kristoff needed anywhere? So Reed and Sue go aboard the wormhole shuttle, and inside they find Johnny, Ben, and Nathaniel. So the shuttle takes off, first into the negative zone, and then to subspace, and to the last known location of Galactus. Reed tells them the story that the Silver Surfer told him about Galactus being obliterated by Morg and the Ultimate Nullifier, but he can't tell his teammates any more than that because Hyperstorm might be listening. So a few hours later, they arrive at the spot where Galactus seems to have died. They land on an asteroid, and Reed starts setting up his equipment. Nathaniel is being a very negative Nancy about the entire thing and about their chances of defeating Hyperstorm. He is one of the most annoying characters in any comic book ever. So while Reed is busy, Johnny is sitting there on a rock, thinking about his love life. Ben asks if he's okay, and Johnny says he thought he found the right girl with Laura Green, but now he's not so sure. For some reason, Ben doesn't tell Johnny that Laura and Lijah are the same person. I guess he's like me. He would love to see Johnny get married to Lijah again under false pretenses. That would be so awesome. So Reed's equipment starts to work and detects some of the exhaust trail left over from Galactus's ship. Reed concludes that the Ultimate Nullifier would have eliminated all traces of Galactus and his ship. So since there is an exhaust trail, that means that Galactus and his ship escaped just in time. And perhaps they fled into a parallel dimension or something. Now he just has to find out where Galactus went to. But just then, Reed's machine gets struck by a beam of energy. They look up, and it's Hyperstorm. He says it's nice to see the family all together. Isn't Hyperstorm kind of an inappropriate name? Shouldn't he be called Hyper Richards? Reed tells his teammates that Hyperstorm isn't like any other superpowered enemy they've ever fought. He's actually one of them, and they should find a peaceful solution. Hyperstorm replies, I'm afraid that simply isn't possible, Grandpa. He says he's going to bring peace and harmony to the universe, and true order cannot exist with individual freedom. So yeah, he's a bit of a fascist. Nathaniel catches him by surprise and blasts him with a big bolt of energy. Hyperstorm then pushes Nathaniel away and blasts the big boulder that Ben is about to clobber him with. Reed and Johnny try to attack Hyperstorm, who reveals what his full name is. It's Jonathan R. Richards. He's named after Johnny. How sweet! The Human Torch should be honored. And the R, well, that stands for, he doesn't say. I guess Reed. Back at FF headquarters, little Franklin, I'll just call him Franklin from now on, is throwing a temper tantrum, worried about his parents being off on that mission fighting his own son. A bright light appears on the roof,
and a voice tells Franklin, "No need to worry. You can protect your family. You have the power to save them, and I will show you how to use it." And out of the light, another little boy appears, a pretty homely little kid, with brown hair and really thin eyebrows. He says his name is Charlie, and he wants to be Franklin's best friend. Franklin is understandably a little creeped out, but soon a wave of serenity washes over him.
Back with Hyperstorm, he tells the FF that he wanted them to stay out of his way, but now that they're trying to mess with his shit, he's gonna kill him. Reed says he was hoping that they could reach an agreement, but that ain't gonna happen. And Ben asks, "Does this mean we'd get to clobber him now?"
Reed tells Ben to give him everything he's got, distract Hyperstorm, while Reed works on the transdimensionalizer. So Reed successfully operates the machine and says that everything is going exactly as planned. So the machine starts to work, and Hyperstorm recognizes that he's trying to pierce the very fabric of their dimensional plane. And then, guess what happens? Galactus shows up, and he's not happy. He said he was trying to enjoy a little vacation in the dimensional void, but now that he's been summoned back to the real world, he's hungry. Johnny says it looks like he's going to eat the asteroid they're standing on. Reed tells Hyperstorm he better surrender or face the consequences. Hyperstorm disagrees. He ain't worried about Galactus. Johnny says they better do something fast. Galactus is ready to feed. Ben suggests he go get some Twinkies from out of his ship. That has worked in the past. Hyperstorm laughs and says that even the power of Galactus can't defeat him. And then Galactus uses his powers to defeat Hyperstorm. The Big G starts feasting on Hyperstorm's energy. Ben is worried that Galactus will kill Hyperstorm, but Reed says that Galactus is only feasting on Hyperstorm's energy, not killing him. Reed says they better get back to the shuttle right away. They could be doing this for all eternity. And then the transdimensionalizer stops working, and Galactus, along with his new bitch, Hyperstorm, they fade back into the dimensional void. Back on the shuttle, Johnny sings the praises of his brother-in-law about how smart he is. Ben says that after this, it'll be hard to work up any enthusiasm for bad guys like the Mole Man or Puppet Master. Actually, after this, it's hard for anyone to work up any enthusiasm for Hyperstorm, because he is never seen or heard from again. Reed thanks everyone for coming along and helping out. Nathaniel apologizes for constantly saying that Hyperstorm can never be defeated. He concludes that nothing is impossible for the world's greatest fighting team, the Fantastic Four. And that, finally, is the end of the long-running Hyperstorm saga. I do like the fact that Tom DeFalco had all this stuff happening for the last few years, and behind it was this one big bad guy. But unfortunately, once we actually met Hyperstorm, he never seemed all that interesting or intimidating. His red, blue, and yellow costume seemed a little odd for a bad guy. Isn't there some kind of unwritten rule that good guys should wear primary colors like red, yellow, and blue, and bad guys should wear secondary colors like green or brown? Hyperstorm is just too bright and colorful for a bad guy. And the tie-in with X-Men Days of Future Past, having him be the son of Franklin and Rachel Summers of the alternate future, it seems forced, and it's not very interesting, and it doesn't add anything to the character. And frankly, he's too powerful. He's like the Beyonder, or Molecule Man, or Onslaught. These characters who are supposedly all-powerful, they get under my skin. In this issue, once he realizes he's in danger, why doesn't he just zap the FF with a bolt of lightning and kill them all and be done with it? It's like a James Bond villain that never kills James Bond when he has a chance. And Hyperstorm, with all his powers, he has plenty of chances to kill the Fantastic Four. He just doesn't. He could just snap his fingers and they're toast, but he never does it. What an idiot. This is the last issue for Paul Ryan, an artist that I've always liked. I like him a lot less now that he's become a politician. Tom DeFalco finishes up his run for the next two issues with a guest artist, Carlos Pacheco, an artist that I really, really liked back in the 90s. These next two issues, however, are part of the big giant Onslaught crossover, which is not good, which sets up the Heroes Reborn debacle, which is even worse. So that's all I have for now. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. Go back and listen to the previous 413 episodes 5 more times each, and then pledge your allegiance to my cult and I'll make the pain go away. Go to puppyfind.com and buy some of my puppies, and watch my video game videos on YouTube, because if there's one thing that's more fun than playing video games, it's watching people play video games. So long, kids. This podcast is over.